The next coach on the teleconference is Iowa's Kirk Ferentz. The Hawkeyes are 3-0 overall and host North Texas at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPNU. Coach, thank you very much for joining us today. If you could give us some quick opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions.
Well, sure. We're obviously very pleased with last week's game. It was a really hard-fought win against a very tough football team, and it went right down to the wire, and it was certainly nice to just have a very special moment for Marshall Kane. He did a great job delivering that last kick, and the crowd really reacted well. So that was a neat thing, something he's earned. He's a senior that's worked extremely hard, a walk-on originally, and has just done a great job for us. And on top of that, we had Brett Greenwood here to be our honorary captain. That was special on top of it. So, very pleased about that. And, now we, turn the page and we're getting ready for our next game. We play North Texas here on Saturday and, working hard on preparation for that game.
Thanks, Coach. We'll take questions at this time.
If you would like to ask Coach a question, please press star 1. And our first question comes from the line of Jesse Temple from ESPN.com.
Kirk, what will it be like for you to see Dan McCarney walk back into Kinnick Stadium on Saturday?
It's interesting. Since I've come back here, I've had an opportunity to coach against a lot of my former, associates, if you will. And it's not something I really am overly fond of, quite frankly. Going back to, Barry Alvarez up at Wisconsin, Bill Snyder at Kansas State, we played them in 2000. And, we played Bob Stoops in a bowl game. And Dan and I have coached against each other ample times now. And he was at Iowa State, did a wonderful job. But, I go right back to my first 9 years here as an assistant coach. Dan and I literally sat next to each other. Dan was on my right. I was on his left. And we were the two youngest guys on the staff. So, through that time, I just developed a great respect and admiration for Dan as a person, as a football coach. And I'll tell you, those were 9 great years in both of our lives. And just been, really proud of all the things he's done since he's left here. He's done a wonderful job everywhere he's gone. He's doing a great job at North Texas right now.
It's certainly a unique circumstance with him having, grown up in Iowa City and playing and coaching there. What, in your opinion, do you think Dan has meant to the University of Iowa and Iowa City as well?
It's interesting. Dan went there, two main high schools here, and then we've got a Catholic school, Regina, as well. But Dan went to City High, all of my children. My wife and I, we have 5 kids, and they've all graduated from City High. So we didn't grow up there, but it's a big part of our life, too. And Dan's a great story. He just had a great career at City High locally, played here and had a great career at Iowa, and then basically coached his first, I don't know how many years, 15, 16 years, whatever it would be, at the University of Iowa. And, so this is a big part of his background, certainly. But he's his own person as well, and he's done a great job as a coach, both as an assistant and then certainly as a head coach at Iowa State and now at North Texas.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And our next question comes from the line of Teddy Greenstein from Chicago Tribune.
Coach, were you guys having any kind of debate on the sidelines about even attempting that 57-yarder? How did that all shake out?
No, it was pretty easy. The trick was getting the ball there. And, credit goes to the entire – no, it started on the kickoff, actually. They weren't trying to squib it, but it ended up being a squib. Their guy mishit it. And, it looked like we might end up with the ball inside our 10, but Desmond King did a great job of picking it up and then just kind of basically ad-libbing. Got it out past the 30, and then CJ and the offense did a great job of advancing it. And particularly on the last play, CJ had his eyes on the clock. He got down with time still on it, and everybody on our bench, everybody on the field was signaling for a timeout. So that left us 2 seconds. And, Marshall's got a very strong leg. That was no surprise to us. And but it's one thing to make that field goal in practice, another thing to make it in that circumstance. So he deserves a world of credit for just his poise, his composure out there, and his ability to execute a very tough play.
What's his personality like off the field? Is he getting a little cocky now?
I wouldn't call him cocky. Marshall's a really humble guy, and he's an all-around athlete from Solon, hometown to James Morris. And he's just he's done a wonderful job since he's been here. He's always had a strong leg. His consistency was an issue earlier in his career, but he did a great job last year and has picked up right where he left off. So, it's really neat for him to be recognized by the Big Ten this week. He's earned everything he's gotten, and it's just I think everybody's really happy for him just because of the kind of person he is.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Brian Bennett from ESPN.com.
Kirk, you mentioned the play CJ made, which I was really impressed with. And I guess really the first time you had a chance to see him kind of come down that game-winning two-minute drive. What did you learn about him in that kind of situation?
You know, I'd echo what I said last week after our Iowa State game on the road in a really tough circumstance. You know, the thing that stands out more than anything to me is just his poise. You know, for a guy who's only played four games, and that's how many games he started now, we all kind of slipped in that trap, I think, during the out of season. Like, you know, he was Billy Kilmer or something like that. You know, it just he hasn't played that much. And, you know, he's, I think, shown really outstanding poise the last two ball games and plenty of opportunities or reasons not to maybe be able to do that. So, you know, it's a real credit to him on that regard.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Joe Christensen from Minneapolis Star Tribune.
Hey, Kirk, I'm doing a story on programs that have weathered through those types of seasons where the defense is outstanding and the offense kind of holds them back. And I was looking through, and your 07 season kind of stands out. 2 years later, you've got a similar defense, and your offense kicks it up a notch, and you know the kind of success you had. Anyway, just how tough was 07? Just you know, dealing with your player confidence offensively and stuff, and just how much did it help you as you were moving forward, the lessons learned and stuff.
You know, I'd actually go back to my first year here at Iowa, and I'm not sure enough's been written about it. I think it was a really one of the biggest historic moments in this conference's history. If you look at it, 13 years prior to 1981, there were two teams that went to the Rose Bowl. So, you know, everybody's lining up for third place, basically. And that was the year Iowa went to the Rose Bowl in 1981. And the story of that team, it's funny because I was talking to a couple of the guys from that ball club yesterday that were defensive players. We had an outstanding defense. We couldn't run a lick, but I thought those guys were tough and they were determined. And it was my first year here. Very tough to determine defensive football team. We had the best punter in the world, Reggie Roby. And we had an offense that basically the job was just don't turn it over. And, you know, if we got the ball in there close, try to get a field goal. So, you know, it was good enough to get us out to California. And probably similar to our 04 team here where, you know, we're down to our fourth team running back. I think we were 117th in the NCAA rushing. And I think there were 118 teams that year. So, you know, we broke conventional wisdom there. You know, we had a championship team that couldn't run the ball at all. But we played outstanding defense and outstanding special teams. And, you know, I think the point you make to your team is that the objective is to win games. It's not, you know, it's not a beauty pageant. It's the idea is to win games. And, you know, if you're playing well on offense, great. And if you're playing well on defense, great. Or special teams, you know, it really doesn't matter how you get it done. The idea is to get it done. And at the end of the year, you count them up. So, you know, it's just, to me, it's all about true teamwork is, you know, the team playing together and complementing each other. You know, strengths and weaknesses of teams, you know, vary a lot of times week to week, month to month, and certainly year to year. So you just, you know, unless you're at a place where you got the best players, and there aren't a lot of those places out there. So that's a neat thing about football.
We can take one last question for Coach.
And our final question comes from the line of Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle.
Hey, Coach, could you talk just a little bit about what you see in North Texas and the possibility of facing a team that's 0-2 and really desperate for a win this weekend?
You know, Brett, it's a tough preparation on one hand for us because, as you well know, they've changed a little bit defensively. You know, John Scaldani, who we're very familiar with, did a great job at Iowa State, retired. So they're you know, we're trying to get a beat on what they're doing defensively, and you know, they've played two teams that are very dissimilar to the way we are. So we're kind of throwing darts there, and then offensively they're doing a really nice job, and the quarterback Andrew McNulty had a really nice game Saturday. So you know, they're gonna spread the field and you know, make us defend every bit of it and run and pass, and it's just it's gonna be a tough preparation for us.
Coach, thank you very much for your time today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks very much.